Take a moment and have a word of prayer as we start this portion. Father, we thank you so much for, again, the blessings of Easter, the key of our Christian faith, the cornerstone of our belief. Lord, I pray that today, of all days, that we would realize how so important, how so needed that we just need you as a Savior. We just need your Spirit to come and make a new creation, to save us from the sins that we so often fall into. And Lord, that you would fill us and renew us as we go through this life, a life that's full of twists and turns and trials and tribulations. We pray now that you would bless this portion of the service. Help us to open our hearts and our ears to what you have for us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Easter. You know, I can't preach anything but Easter. I mean, you know, there's other holidays where I can kind of slide into something different, but this is not one of them. Easter is the key, the cornerstone of the Christian faith. Without the resurrection, we're not meeting for anything. We're just a club, a group of people that get together for breakfast or to sing a few songs and see our friends. Jesus, he was dead. He was placed in a tomb. It was sealed by Rome and guarded by Roman centurions. Disciples ran and hid. Everyone pretty much figured it was over. The religious leaders, they thought that they had stopped this nuisance and all this nonsense. This dissident and troublemaker was finally in the grave. We showed him who was the boss. And so they thought for 3 days. Well, the question that arises is, what if? What if? What if Jesus were a troublemaker? What if he was just a troublemaker, a crazy man who hated the establishment and the religious leaders? What if Jesus didn't rise from the grave? What if? What if Jesus was just a man? Paul addresses this in 1 Corinthians, and I want us to turn there, 1 Corinthians 15, 17, 49 in your pew Bibles. 1 Corinthians 15, 17, 49 in your pew Bibles, so that you can follow along. And we're going to be in chapter 15 the whole time, so we won't be flipping back and forth. So just turn there, 17, 49. You can follow along. We're going to start in verse 12 instead of the first verse. Verse 12, and we'll go through 19. It says, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? Well, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. And then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." I want to look at each of those points. The first point is verse 14. It says, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. So what am I doing up here? If Christ wasn't risen from the grave, if he didn't rise from the grave, there's no resurrection, then I'm out of a job. I really have no point in being up here, because my preaching is useless. There's nothing to preach about. Verse 15 says, more than that, we're found to be false witnesses. I'm a liar. The disciples were liars. If Christ did not rise from the grave. Verse 17 says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You know you're wasting your time here. If Christ didn't rise from the grave, you are here for nothing. You have a lot better things to do than sit here for an hour. Or maybe today, 2 hours. I'm just kidding. Verse 18 got your attention. That's what I was looking for. Then verse 18, it says, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. How miserable is that? You believe in something all your life. You trust in Christ. And you're trusting that you're going to have heaven as your home and you're going to have eternal life. And then if Christ didn't rise from the grave, it's not right. It didn't happen. It's a lie. People who have died before us, that's it. There's nothing. It's like many atheists believe that, you know, you die and then that's it. You're gone. You're done. There's no more. What a sad existence. Well then, lastly, verse 19, if only in this life we have faith in Christ, we should be pitied more than all men. You go around the world and people should be just going, man, you're a Christian? Sorry, person. That's sad. To believe in a false hope, that's bad. You know, but unfortunately, there are some people that live their lives in the shadow of what if. We live through our lives with what if this happens or what if that happens. Those are non-existent when you talk about Jesus Christ and faith in Him. You know, I remember a scripture verse just right now, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So how can we put what if in front of that? Well, what if, you know. But we do that all the time. We say, what if this and what if that? And, I don't know. Maybe I should rethink this because what if? And, you know, oh, we're supposed to share the gospel with other people. Well, what if they don't like me? What if they punch me? Oh, goodness. What if they do? Jesus, He was beaten and hung on a cross. That didn't seem too good for His faith. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8 is an interesting scripture because it could be filled with what ifs. Let me read it for you. Chapter 15, starting verse 1, it says, now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you. Paul saying, which you received and on which you have taken your stand by this gospel, you're saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James and then all the apostles, and last of all He appeared to me as to one abnormally born. Now, you know, that sounds pretty simple. You know, that He appeared to a lot of people. And that's really good. But what if? What if they listened to their doubts? Now, I can just hear some of the doubts. Maybe even, you know, Peter, man, I let him down so much and I'm so upset and I'm so, emotional right now. Maybe I just imagined I saw Him. What if it really wasn't Jesus? What if I imagined it? You know, the 500 of them and all these different people that saw Him? what if it was just a dream? What if it's not true? I just thought it was. And I'm going out there to preach about Jesus and Him crucified and risen on the third day, and I'm going out there preaching this, and what if it's not true? Paul addressed that, of course, and he said, well, then we'd be liars, false witnesses. But would they die for that? Would they die if they had a question in their minds about whether it was or not? You know, belief transcends the what if. There's a lot of what ifs in our lives. A lot of questions that we run into. You've done it before. I've done it myself. What if I really didn't trust Jesus enough? Maybe I didn't pray that prayer quite the way I should have prayed it. So I'm going to pray it again. I think I prayed to receive Jesus about 50 times. Early on. Because each time I had that question, and I'd go to bed at night and I'd just say, Lord, you know, show me a sign. Let me know I'm saved. But belief transcends that. I believe what the Scripture says. I believe that when I trust Him with my life, I believe that when I pray and ask Jesus into my heart, that is exactly what happens. People challenge us all the time. I've been challenged a lot myself. Come on. You don't really believe in that mumbo jumbo, do you? I mean, Jesus, come on. He's just a guy, good teacher. You know, what if you're wrong? Have you ever thought about that? What if you're wrong? Disciples that ran, most of them became martyrs. Did you know that? I don't know of anybody that would martyr for a false, for a lie, especially if they knew it. I mean, maybe if they fought and they believed it in their heart, they would. But if they knew it was a lie, if they weren't absolutely sure, if those disciples weren't absolutely sure that they saw Jesus, they would never die the way that they died. And let me tell you, some of them, there were more than just Peter, hung on a cross upside down, because they didn't feel worthy to be crucified the same way Jesus was. Even Thomas, remember Thomas? So I'm not going to believe unless I put my fingers in the hole and my hand in the side. I'm not going to believe that Jesus rose from the grave. I got to see it to believe it. And Thomas died by being pierced with a spear several times. He was a preacher in Persia at the time. Paul, he was a persecutor of the church. Remember? He went around all over the place. He was the first, Stephen, the first martyr, was martyred because Paul brought him out, dragged him into the streets, held the cloaks of all the guys that picked up stones and threw them at Stephen, and Stephen was stoned to death, and Paul was going, yeah, one more stone, make sure he's dead. That was Paul. Well, Saul at that time. Then they changed his name to Paul because he had an experience. He saw Jesus and he trusted him with all his heart. And you know what happened to him? He was imprisoned in Rome and beheaded for his faith. Paul, persecuted. If he didn't believe all in, if he wasn't totally convinced, he wouldn't have done it. He was a Roman citizen. He could have said, you know what? Time out. I'm wrong. I was just goofing, teasing, gotcha. That kind of thing. They would have let him go. Throughout the ages, 2,000 years worth, people have thrown aside the what if and followed Jesus with their whole heart. And many of them have died for it. Paul said it very clearly in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go to verse 20. He said it so clear. In verse 20 he says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, that's Adam, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him, and then the end will come. Christ has indeed been raised from the grave. The big question then comes up. What do you believe? You know, we're sitting here on Easter celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I think a lot of us, we come here and we go, well, you know, it's a great story. And it's, you know, we get to go to church, we get chocolate bunnies and whatever else they give you now. Jelly beans used to be, now it's something else. Peeps, you know. They don't make them any other time, you know. Oh, got to get the peeps. But it's more than that. Because if Jesus were not alive, if he didn't rise from the grave, then he wasn't the Son of God. And he didn't then take all our sins upon him when he went to the cross. And then we have nothing to celebrate and nothing to worship and nothing to be here for. And let's go home. But that's not the case, is it? So if Jesus rose from the grave, if all this is true, if it's more than a story, it's life itself. It's our life hanging in the balance. It's where are you going to be for eternity? Are you going to spend eternity with eternal life? With God, with Jesus? Who died for you, by the way, without reservation. He went to the cross. Sinless. You know, as I shared on Good Friday, I said Jesus could have sat in the garden and said, God, it's not fair. Why should I go to the cross? I didn't sin. Why should I have to pay for the sins of the world? I'd probably be saying that. Don't we all say that? It's not fair. I know when at home and teenagers and younger than that, some of you, I know you say that all the time. Something's taken away from you. Your parents discipline you in some way or another. It's not fair. Look at those across the street or next door. They don't have that happen. You know what? I'm sorry about that. What's right is right. Jesus went to the cross for all of our sins. Yeah, it wasn't fair, but he did it. Why did he do it? Because he loved us. But he also knew that he wouldn't stay in the grave. He would rise on that third day. Oh, there's lots of criticisms out there, isn't there? Lots of people saying, oh, come on, that's just a story. It didn't happen. The world hates us. You know, why don't we just get on the same wagon? You know, quit fighting the world. Quit standing on the Word of God. Because, you know, it's just a bunch of guys wrote it. Oh, it's more than that. There comes a time when you must believe. And your life hangs in the balance. It's life or death. It's not this, you know, oh, I can believe or not believe. You know, hey, I got lots of partying to do. I don't want to believe now. Let me do it later. And I want to tell you that sometimes later never comes. I've done many, many funerals of very young people who thought they had plenty of time. We need to make that decision. You know, there was a guy way back, 1700s, or 1500s, I think it was. Columbus, yeah, wasn't it 1500s? Yeah, 1500s. 1400s? Wow. Where am I, huh? 1492. Thank you. Boy, that. You know, there's people, older people, that know better, more history than. You. Oh, that's what it was. Okay. Larry was there, okay. You were on the Santa Maria, wasn't it? Yeah. Columbus believed that there was a world out there, across the ocean, there was a world. And he had to go and explore it. Did you know that there were so many people that told him he was an idiot? He was stupid. He was crazy. There was no such thing. If the world was flat, he's going to fall off the edge. But he believed it. And he went all over the place trying to find somebody who would fund it. And finally he did find one, Queen of Spain. And she funded his trip. That's kind of where we're at. We know heaven's there because the Bible tells us. But we don't know. We don't have it in our hands. We can't take binoculars and take a look at it or get a telescope out and see it. We believe. Because all the things that have been said in Scripture have panned out and been true. And so we believe it. The resurrection of Jesus is the same thing. We know the stories are there. We've heard them. It's in history. And even historians who aren't part of the Bible, who didn't write the Bible, historians like Josephus have said, yeah, there was a lot of hubbub going on. And somebody said he was risen from the grave and the Romans didn't know where he went. So who will you stand for? Who will you believe? Jesus did rise from the grave. Those who believe in him are assured in eternal life in heaven. You know the question about what if you're wrong? You know how I answer that? So what? If I'm wrong, I've got nothing to lose. I'm a better person for believing in Jesus because I want to do the right thing. I'm living my life according better than I lived it before. And I know there's something there because I've seen miracles. I've seen things happen that just wouldn't happen normally. But besides that, I've got nothing to lose. But I'll tell you what, if I'm right and you don't believe in Jesus, you've got a lot to lose. You've got a lot to lose. Better to be on the side, believing in Jesus. And it's only for that, to assure yourself, heaven, trust him. Believe in him. There are no what ifs. There's nothing that holds water. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. I'd like us to have just a word of prayer before we close. Let's bow our heads. Father, I know in this building right here, right now, there are some that have not stepped across that line of belief. There are those here who struggle, don't really want to give it up. They don't really want to give up that life that they have because they think that being a Christian is just boring. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would be moving in their hearts. You said in your word that your Spirit convicts us of sin. I pray that your Spirit would be moving in all of our hearts right now, showing us what we need. There might be Christians here that have been Christians a while and just maybe drifted away and got swallowed up with a lot of the things of this world, kind of strangled out our faith a little bit. I pray that you would move in their hearts and lives too. Right now, Lord, I just pray that if there's somebody here that hasn't trusted you, that they pray, Lord, I need you in my life. I don't want to be separated from you. I don't want to find myself in hell someday. I want to go to heaven. I believe that you rose from the grave. I believe that you forgave my sins. I believe that you can help me throughout my life to live a better life, to be stronger, to overcome things in my life that have gotten a hold of me. Maybe there's some addictions that I'm struggling with. Lord, I pray that you would minister to us in a powerful way, a way that only you can, only your Spirit can. Touching the innermost parts of our soul, letting us know that you are here. Lord, I pray for each one here. Lord, fill us, renew us, make us your servants. Bring people into our lives that we can minister to and help to see the truth. Lord, let us go out there and tell people about the resurrected Jesus, the one who can save us from all our sins and give us eternal life. Lord, may we be filled with that excitement, that power, that boldness from this point on. Lord, now we commit the rest of the service into your hands. We pray that you would bless this song as we sing our final song. And Lord, that you bless the rest of this day. Lord, I thank you so much for Easter. We pray now, again, for your presence. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, and it will be up on the screen. Three verses of Rejoice, the Lord is King.